This is episode number 34 with Kickstart Collective. Welcome to the Path to Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Wes Barefoot, where it's my mission to help aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners take control of their lives and create freedom for themselves through business ownership. Each episode, I'll be exploring the strategies and tactics of other successful entrepreneurs that have created freedom in their own lives while sharing what I'm learning along my own path to freedom. I'm glad you're here. Let's drop in. Hey, everybody. Thanks for dropping in. Got a very cool episode today. My guests are Luke and Laura Tippett. They are husband and wife entrepreneurial team, the founders of Kickstart Collective, which is a full-service digital marketing agency, one-stop shop for everything you need from video and photography to digital marketing and creative strategy. I met Luke and Laura through my wife, who actually went to high school with them. And they've been helping me out with a lot of video content and social media for my Path to Freedom business. So wanted to have them on the podcast because they have an awesome, awesome story. I mean, talk about a couple of entrepreneurs that are charting their own path to freedom. And they share a lot of their story today, some of the ups, some of the downs, what they've enjoyed most about business ownership, some of the amazing things that it's allowed them to do just due to the flexibility that business ownership has created in their lives. So very excited to share this episode with Luke and Laura Tippett of Kickstart Collective. Let's go ahead and drop in now. For anyone listening, maybe give everyone kind of a quick overview of Kickstart Collective, what your business is, what you do, who you help. And then I definitely want to hear more of your story in terms of how you guys, you know, even started a business and, you know, now work together as a husband and wife team.
Well, Laura owns the business, so I'll let her start.
So we are a creative marketing agency. So basically we help businesses with their marketing strategy and content. So whether that's photo and video or written content, and then help them distribute that through the internet and digital marketing and all that fun stuff. I don't know if you want to add any to the video side.
Content side, yeah. So she handles everything, marketing from strategy to everything she just said. And then I'm just specifically on the content side with, you know, brainstorming about ideas and then all the way through the actual execution of shooting videos, shooting photos. And then, like, I would say the one thing that kind of makes us a little different than other people as far as like a small creative marketing agency goes is that, like, we try to keep in mind, like, what this is going to produce for the client, like how they want it to work for them. We don't just take a pretty video or a pretty picture. We say, you know, what are your goals with this? And how do we, you know, how do we really reach those through the content marketing?
Which is a breath of fresh air for me, at least. And I mean, the way we connected is, I think you guys went to high school with my wife, but she, you know, knew about your business and was like, hey, these guys could probably really help you out, talking to me, like, you know, help me out with my Path to Freedom business. And so we've been working together for a while, and it's been a good experience for me, especially compared to some other agencies I've worked with, because you did really take the time to understand, you know, what my business is, who I'm trying to reach, what I do, how I help people, and then, you know, help me customize a strategy based on all of that. And I feel like a lot of, especially the bigger agencies out there, it's much more of a one size fits all approach. Like, this is what we do. This is how we do it for our clients. And for some businesses, maybe that approach works, but, you know, for me, that's definitely not what I was looking for. So I think you're dead on with that, Luke. So you're basically a kind of a one-stop shop for digital branding, marketing, advertising, content. Is that kind of an accurate description?
Yeah. We just try to help people instead of like, and I guess we can kind of go into how we got here, you know, through that statement. You know, we were working separately for a while. So she used to do marketing. She worked at Live Oak Bank here in town.
Okay.
Yeah, you can talk about what you did there. I don't really know.
I don't have a clue.
it was a while, yeah. No, so I was working there in marketing. So it was a kind of like an account manager type role. So working on strategy and with different teams. So working a lot on the content and then how we got that to our audience or leads there. So I was doing that. And then we decided we wanted to travel full time. So I quit my job and then we both were pretty much freelancing at that point. Luke owned
a fishing charter business.
So he owned it.
I did not know this.
Yeah, oh, business. Then so he was kind of operating that from the road and then I started doing freelance marketing. So we did that, traveled for about a year and then kept both freelancing. I guess he moved more into photo and video stuff as a career. So we were both freelancing separately and then it got to a point where we were referring business back and forth to each other a lot, which was great, but then it's super confusing for the client because they're like, y'all are invoicing me separately. You're right. Like talking to each other across the house on operating on, yeah. But it's like my client, his client, and not like
didn't make any sense.
Client. So it was very confusing.
So you joined forces.
Joined forces and then kind of formed what we have today. So a few like branding shifts during COVID and as everyone pivoted, we did as well. So it looks a little different than it did when it started, but yeah, basically.
It's a cool story. And I like how, you know, you kind of finally decided, hey, it makes sense to just, you know, make this one business. Now you are more of a one-stop shop. And I'm sure you still have clients that, you know, only need some of the services that you provide, which is fine, of course. But to me, that makes sense. So I want to hear more about, you know, your decision to travel and put yourselves in a position to work remotely and do some of the freelancing. And I definitely want to hear more about this fishing charter business. How did you even manage a fishing charter business remotely without actually being on the coast?
Yeah. So
without fishing.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Obviously we don't go back so much, Wes, but I have had a lot of different careers. And
he's the entrepreneurial one in the,
yeah. All right, well, we might have to do a separate podcast just for Luke to talk to us about all of his previous entrepreneurial ventures.
It'd be a long podcast.
I've made lots of logos for Luke over the years.
Yeah. All right. Very
I'm
cool.
I'm backing up the websites here. I guess it's been 3 years since we've traveled now. Mm-hmm. And Laura really had this desire to travel and I've always wanted to own an RV. So probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I decided to buy a 1994 34 foot Class A RV, one you drive inside. It was a piece of junk, but
it had pink carpet.
Oh yeah,
we did the RV Instagram renovation thing before that was a thing.
Yeah,
so heck yeah,
we gutted an RV and drove across the country. Of course, at that point, she was working at Live Oak, which was a great job. I was doing pretty well as a fishing charter business. I was a couple years old in that, and so just decided I was like, I got to hire somebody to run my boat and. I'll just manage all the booking from the road. And then I have video experience. You know, I used to do that a lot. I went to college for it for a year, but learned everything I knew way back in middle school, high school, and just started applying that while we were driving, started making some different RV resorts videos.
Very cool.
Managing a couple, you know, freelance clients on the road. I was doing a little, writing for a fishing magazine, you know, it was really just like we were without responsibility. We rented our house out. And so we're like, let's just go travel. We'll make the bills work. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We definitely saved up a good amount of money before we traveled.
Yeah,
though. So it was,
yeah, we had some cushion.
We didn't throw caution to the wind completely.
Yeah. But it felt like that.
A little bit. Yeah. It was cool because there on the other West Coast, there's a lot of places you can camp for free, like in an RV. So essentially we didn't have like rent or mortgage at that point. So gas money, food money, and then, you know,
play money. Yeah.
Well, that's what I love about it. Right. Is, I mean, you guys were able to sounds like get very creative and find ways to keep at least some income coming in and allow you to go do what you wanted to do, which was travel the country and, you know, live out of an RV. And, you know, to me, that's what, you know, that's a big part of what path to freedom's all about, right? I mean, I say it all the time, freedom's different to different people, right? I mean, it always looks a little bit different, but it's, you know, finding ways to just put yourself in a position to do life the way you want to do life, right? Whether that's travel around in an RV with pink carpet, or, you know, just not have to work for someone else, work from home, work remotely, whatever the case is. So I think it's really cool that you guys were able to do that. And I'm sure you had some great experiences. I mean, where were some of your favorite places that you visited while you were living on the road?
Yosemite.
I mean,
yeah, I would live there if it was possible.
The Grand Tetons for sure. I mean, I fly fished the whole time, and then I hunted as well once hunting season came in. So
nice.
It was fly fishing around Montana, Wyoming, man, a lot of good stuff in Oregon as well.
Yeah. Beautiful country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, if I could go back to two places, it would be the Tetons. I'm actually going back there this coming year. So
that trip's
booked. We got a friend that's getting married out there.
Awesome.
Thank you, Chrissy Ann.
Yeah. Great choice of venue.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And then Glacier National Park in northern Montana.
Okay, yeah.
It goes into Canada, actually. But those two places were just, I mean, just so, so different than anything you see around here. So,
well, my parents took a trip out to that part of the country, I guess about a year ago. And they said the Grand Tetons were... they didn't do it in style. I mean, I was joking on my parents when they did this, because they like, it was literally like a bus tour. And I'm picturing like that episode of I Love Lucy where they're on the bus and it like catches on fire or whatever. So it's like, man, you guys are really, really living your boomer years in style, right? You're like going on these bus tours to all the national parks and stuff. But, no, they had a blast at the Grand Tetons. And I mean, the pictures they had were phenomenal.
It's really cool. It's worth seeing. It's worth just standing at the base of the Teton Range and looking at it. I mean, I would travel out there just to look at it.
So your business that is now Kickstart Collective, and I know you said you kind of have gone through some rebranding and all of that. So did that really kind of come together where the two of you decided to kind of join forces while you were living on the road, or did that come later?
Not quite.
No, it came later. So okay. We back, found out we were pregnant, so stopped traveling because I wasn't quite ready. I wasn't that adventurous.
We're quite ready to have a baby in an RV.
No.
Yeah,
I hear you. And we had 3 dogs at the time, so yeah, it would have been a little bit. So we decided to settle back down in Wilmington. I kept freelancing. Luke had another business that...
Well, it was still video business. I was still running my charter business.
Yes.
Okay. Very hard right. time because it was still there. And then a buddy of mine and I teamed up, and he did a lot of photography. I did some video stuff. So we just teamed up and did photography and video together. And that's kind of where we had been. And then probably about a year ago, you started Kickstart.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a little over a year ago, and it really started more, not at all really what it is today. So I had my like freelance clients, and then Kickstart Collective was actually an intern program more or less for college students. So I had a group
of
students through UNCW. One was doing online marketing major. And then we had, our clients were small, like startups or small businesses who had like no marketing budget. And so I would teach the students, we'd meet each week, and then they would actually get to do the client work. So they were getting paid a little bit. The clients were getting work for super cheap. And so it was kind of a win-win for everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
It was awesome. And then COVID happened and all of those students graduated in May. So it was like, I feel like it would be a little too much virtually to start back with a whole new group of students with that model. So beginning of the year, we had kind of already started talking about combining forces and making the intern program just a piece of what would be like more of an agency model. Mm-hmm. So we kind of moved in that direction, and then COVID hit and it was like, yeah, let's go ahead and shift to
college,
what it is.
College
now.
Internships aren't going to work during COVID.
Yeah. There's really nowhere to meet. So hopefully in the future we'll get that kind of up and running again as a piece of it. But, I would say March-ish, May of this year, we like officially move things to what it is now.
I just inserted myself into the business.
You're basically like, hey, I'm part of this now.
Yeah. Well, we're in the house together way too much. I might as well just work for you.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it's basically how it goes anyways, right? It's her business. You work for her. I know that's how it is in my wife and I's businesses that we're in together. I always tell people, I'm like, and this is no exaggeration, like she's the beauty and the brains of these operations. All I do is pick up heavy things and move them where she tells me to.
That's about it. Yeah. I just work here. I don't know what you're talking about. I just work here.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's more like an internship because she doesn't pay me. So
finally started paying
me. Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, you've made some pivots, it sounds like, you know, with your business due to COVID. I mean, so many other businesses have had to do similarly. So tell us, I guess, a little bit more about, I mean, other than just kind of, you know, really, it sounds like changing your entire business model. I mean, I know one of the things that you guys are working with me on is the VIY program. You want to talk a little bit about that? Because if I remember correctly, that was kind of an idea that came out of COVID as well and having to pivot a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, doing video production, you need to be with people to do that. So once March came around and everything was shut down, I went from having one of the best months I've had in business in February to March, where it was just like a standstill.
Yeah.
So the question was like, you know, I can't travel to shoot videos of people. I can't, you know, meet with people. So what do I do? So the idea was basically like, you know, I'm going to consult someone on how to shoot their own video and they can just drop it to me, you know, via Google Drive, via Dropbox, whatever it may be. And then I can put those finishing touches on it. But, you know, it would be to where, you know, the consultation and the gear list that I built out for them would give them a real like edge over their competitors.
Sure.
You know, aside from just like them, you know, selfieing themselves walking around, you know, which is a fine thing to do for a lot of quick social stuff. And don't get me wrong, but you know, if you want to, you know, do some quality, you know, we call it quality consistent content. If you want to do that, then this program was what made sense. You know, I couldn't get to you. You could easily send me footage. I'll teach you how to shoot it, make it look good. And then I'll put all those little branding touches on it to make it make sense for the business.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I mean, a perfect example of kind of taking your traditional business model and pivoting due to the circumstances. And, you know, you've done a great job for me so far. We're just getting started, but I mean, and we're in the same town, right? So we can and actually have gotten together to do some video shoots. But I mean, even for me, the VIY is great because, you know, I don't have a huge budget for videography, right? So it's, I think for maybe some of your smaller business clients, it's a really good option, you know, with or without COVID. So my guess is if you want to, this is something that you, you know, keep rolling with.
Absolutely.
And after COVID's just a bad memory.
And that's the hope, you know, is that people have access to, you know, creating this quality content on a consistent basis. And then if you want a better brand video, you can hire me to come do that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to hire me to come out and shoot every little video you want to show.
Yeah.
Not everybody has the budget for that. And some people do and some people pay for it. That's great. All their stuff's going to look excellent and it's going to be top notch. But, you know, we want to be able to help out that medium, smaller business that doesn't have a huge marketing budget and that knows content is important because it is.
Yeah.
We want to be able to help them out, you know, moving forward and on a weekly basis if that's what they want.
Yeah, I think it's another good example of how you guys are very well positioned to work with your clients based on what they need and not just say, hey, this is kind of what we do. Is it a fit or not? Right. And then, you know, all the content that, you know, you're helping create, Luke, goes hand in hand with Laura and her, you know, strategy that she's able to incorporate that into on the, you know, digital marketing side. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, what type of clients you have worked with, you do work with. I mean, do y'all have any sort of a kind of specialty or, you know, are you really positioned to work with about, you know, any kind of business that might be interested?
Yeah. I mean, I think generally, probably medium to small businesses has been more of our sweet spot. We've had a few like larger clients, and especially on like his side with the photo and video stuff, definitely some bigger clients there for the video production. But yeah, I mean, mostly people who are either looking to improve or looking to get more into that digital marketing space. A lot of times through content marketing is where we usually see the best return for them. So that's usually who we're going after.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree with that. And I'd say, yeah, I mean, I've had some pretty decent sized clients on the video side of things, but like, I would say we like to work with people that understand the value of content marketing. Like,
sure.
That could be anyone. That could be someone with a shoestring budget, or that could be somebody with deep pockets. As long as you understand the value and are like interested in it, I want to work with you because I want to understand your business and I want to show you how to make what we do work for you.
Yep.
So that's really what interests me.
Yeah, it's a fun, like once we know the business goal, and then on our side becomes like a fun little puzzle to solve, like, okay, how do we get you the content that you need created and then piece that together really for your audience and your leads to kind of carry them down that sales funnel and ultimately convert.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah. No, it's been, I mean, for me, it's been great. I mean, we had a lot of conversations before we even, you know, made anything official. I mean, you guys really did take the time to kind of understand my business and what I was trying to accomplish. So, you know, for me, that was much appreciated and a good indication to me that it was going to be a good fit. And to Laura's credit, Laura, you're very, very patient. So thank you. I like to think I fall into the category that Luke mentioned of understanding the value of having good content for my business. Sure. But I also probably fall into the category of, you know, like bozo. I'm sure Laura was wanting to pull her hair out a few times when I'm like, so I don't have a Facebook account and I don't know how to set it up. I'll have my wife do it. And I don't know how to make you an admin for it. So thanks for being patient with me on some of that stuff.
It's easier to start with it fresh than like go back and fix things. So
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Cause there is a Facebook profile of me out there somewhere doing crazy stuff in college. So at least we didn't have to use that one.
We didn't have to scrub that.
No, so that's like,
that wouldn't have been great for credibility purposes, I'm sure. So, you know, I'm interested to hear a little bit more about, you know, how you guys have kind of figured out to work together as a husband and wife team. I mean, you know, you guys know what I do in my business, and I work with quite a few, you know, husband and wives that are interested in getting into business together, right? In some capacity, it's different for every person and every couple, you know, in terms of what they envision their involvement being in the business. But, you know, in many cases, I am working with husband and wives that in some capacity want to be in business together. And so, you know, through that, one of the conversations I usually have to have with people is, are you sure? Like, have you really thought this through? Like, and not like being a jerk, but like, you know, so who's going to play what role in the business? Like, you know, who's got what strengths and skill sets? Do they complement each other? I mean, there is a lot to kind of think through to make sure it is going to work and that it's not going to result in, you know, someone dead in you know, the living room or whatever, because it's a hard thing to work together, especially when you live together and do everything else together. So, I mean, what have you guys learned through this experience running a business together? And I mean, what advice might you have for anyone else, husband, wife, you know, partner, whatever you want to call it, that are considering maybe starting a business together?
You go first.
I would say, first off, we definitely have very different personalities and strengths and weaknesses, which is good, because it can be like, okay, you handle this, I'm going to handle this, but then it can also, you know, cause some tension at times. So I think having
a nice way of putting it
results in like yelling at each other across the kitchen.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But I think understanding, okay, he's going to be better at this. I need to like maybe let him handle that.
Maybe.
In that sense, maybe.
At least let him take a stab at it.
Yeah. Like sales, he can have that. I don't want to do sales, which is good in business. You need someone to do sales. Sure. So I think that's one thing. He very early in our like dating relationship was always like, we're not ending the night. If we're mad at each other, we're going to figure this out. And I'm more passive. And so I was very against that, but I think that's probably helpful in life in general to not things drag on, whether it's annoyances on the business side or, you know, life side.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
General role.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like everything in a relationship, and not just a husband, wife, or a business partner relationship, comes down to communication. Yeah. So, you know, as long as you're both committed to working on your communication, you know, you're going to figure it out. So how that plays out in business though is pretty interesting. So Laura has ways she likes to do things. She uses these stupid apps that I suck at learning and knowing how to use.
I use project management tools.
Right. Right. I have a white
systems.
Yeah. I have a whiteboard. Okay. Yes. I have a whiteboard and I write stuff down, and
that's a system.
It's a system. It's archaic, but it's a system.
And she has nonetheless.
Yeah, she has a system that, like, you know, you type stuff in and it apparently does stuff for you. I don't know. But
we also have an employee who doesn't live here and works remote. So we need to be online.
Yeah.
She can't see your whiteboard.
Yeah. We had a client like 3 or 4 weeks ago. We asked them to write their testimony or their bios, right, for their website. Laura and Alyssa were designing a website for them. And I'm going to say his name because he won't care. But this guy over at Aussie Island Surf Shop here locally.
And man,
so funny. He, like, instead of typing out his bio, he hand wrote it and took a picture of it and sent it to me. And said, "Here's my bio." And that's I was like, you know what? I expect this from you.
It's actually not that surprising.
This is what, and I guess that's kind of what I'm being like with Alyssa. So maybe I should start taking pictures of my whiteboard.
Maybe.
Or maybe.
Just send her pictures of your whiteboard and she can go from there.
Right.
But that's brilliant.
Just learning how we function within the business, like, and how we communicate within business is like an ever growing thing. But just being committed to learning that on a daily basis, I think, is like the biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'll say we're still probably a little bit in startup mode ourselves So as we're going, figuring out how, and as we grow and have more clients that we're truly are sharing, like, okay, who is more or less the account manager for this person? And then what is our workflow look like? So really whether it's a husband and wife team or just any business, getting those processes figured out to where they work for both of us and our team, I think has been.
No doubt.
I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's business partner, husband and wife in business together. It all comes down to good communication. And I think also, and it probably doesn't happen, you know, from day one with most businesses, but, you know, at least at some point kind of figuring out and having clear roles for everyone that's involved, so that you're not, you know, number one, so that nothing slips through the cracks, right? Where you think she's doing something, she thinks you're doing something, and it just doesn't happen, or, you know, you're duplicating efforts or whatever. So having, you know, some clearly defined roles. And again, that's if there's just another business partner involved or whatever. But yeah, I think you gotta, like you said, Luke, just be committed to it, right? Is at the end of the day, you know, we may not get it perfectly, but, you know, we're working towards the same goal. We're going to figure it out. And then giving yourself some flexibility to, you know, make adjustments and tweak things along the way as you learn more about what's working and what's not working.
Yeah. It's got to stay flexible. I mean, yeah. As you're growing and as you're working together, and you have to be able to, when specifically when you're husband, wife team working together, you have to be able to leave work alone.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because you're working from home.
Right now we're working from home. So it's like, there's no escape. So you have to, like, actually make a decision to say, hey, you know, when we close the laptops, we close the laptops. And if Laura gets back on the laptop later at night, then I can make fun of her. And that's just what's going to happen. And if she needs to do something, you know, she could say, hey, you know, I have to take care of this. And then, you know, I have to be intentional about spending time with her son and letting her have that time. But, you know, just having that communicated clearly, like when and to turn it off and when to turn it on is very important.
Have you guys found any kind of tips or tricks that work for you guys in terms of, cause it's hard, like running businesses, working from home, like it can be very difficult to turn it off, right? To say, all right, I'm switching out of work mode. Like, I struggle with that all the time. Have you found any tips or tricks to kind of, you know, make that switch and then, you know, be present with whatever it is outside of work that you need to be doing?
Our 2-year-old, whenever I pick up my computer now, says, "No, mama, stop work. No work."
Doesn't that just like rip your heart out?
Yeah. So that helps.
I'll never forget the first time my daughter picked up like her play cell phone and had it up to her ear. And I was trying to talk to her and she looked at me and goes, "Shh, I'm on a call." And I'm like, all right, I can't.
That's, never doing that again.
She's mocking me right now. I can't. Sorry.
I feel like what we do with our, like, so both of our parents are and live here, so we have pretty good childcare help. So it has helped, like, when we know he is with grandparents to, like, we cram as much work into those hours a day we can.
Right. Yeah.
And then other than that, it's really deciding, like, or setting, like, a set schedule of, like, okay, Wednesday mornings, like, Luke has Huck and I can schedule and be gone or do whatever I need to. And then Thursday mornings I have him. So Luke has the whole day to do whatever. So getting that balance and having like set times to where it's not like every single time we have to check with each other to like schedule something. It's like blocked out. I know I have this. Everything's good on the home front.
That's good. Yeah.
So that's helped. And then,
yeah, I would think like, I mean, something that we haven't been as good at lately, but we're getting better at it again. Over the past month or two is like actually scheduling like date nights to go out.
That's important.
Be husband and wife.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I love to cook here at the house, but sometimes the monotony of work runs right into the monotony of cooking dinner. So, if that all blends together and you're just tired, sometimes you're just, you know, kind of tapped out, but you know, scheduling time for us to just go hang out and be, and being intentional about it and say, hey, you know, this week we're going out to dinner and we're going to go out and grab a drink afterwards and we're going to go do it.
Yeah. Put it on the calendar and make it happen. I think that's important. Yeah. I mean, I've started, you know, really, cause it's tough, you know, like we have a kid and, you know, we love the fact that we work from home. So she's not in daycare, you know, 5 days a week. That's great. But at the same time, we catch ourselves, you know, where it's after dinner and we're both on the laptops and she's in front of the TV. And it's like, no, we need to really make sure that we're not using the flexibility of our working arrangements, but still not getting any of the benefit of that, if that makes sense, right? It's like, you know, we have this very flexible working environment, but let's actually take advantage of that and spend some quality time together as a family and not just, you know, work more because we can. For me, I've just found like, you know, when I'm ready to turn work off, I'll do like a workout. That's kind of like that flips the switch in my mind is done working, work out, and then I'm out of work mode. It kind of clears my head and then I can, you know, really settle in for some family time. But yeah, I think good communication, scheduling in blocks, like you mentioned, so that you get into more of a routine instead of it being, you know, different every day or every week is important. I mean, how would you guys say that business ownership has, you know, changed your lives in positive ways or, you know, in any negative ways?
You can go first because I got a long answer.
Mine can be probably short. So before I was working for myself, I was always, because he always had businesses and all that. I was like, he can do that. And then I'll have the security of the full-time job and I'll be the stable one. He can be the like adventurous, probably more risk reward type person.
Sure.
So I would say with the switch, yeah, I do kind of see now how there is, you know, more reward in being in business for yourself because you can work and make as much money as you want to while also not working or, you know, I'll say not working. If we wanted to travel or wanted to take 2 weeks to do this, we have the option to do that and we can.
That's right. At this point, you have to ask permission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are comfortable with working from the road at this point. So like if we need to, you know, check in and work and travel. So I would say just the flexibility to kind of do what we want when we want, you know, to some extent is definitely the benefit. I think still in the back of my head, there is a little bit of like, always like, oh, it's not a stable 9-to-5 benefit package, blah, blah, blah job. But
that's right.
At this point, I don't want to go back to that. Like it's not the benefit and like flexibility and freedom now is like way outweighs just, I'll say stability, not that we're not stable. You know what I mean? That traditional thought of stability.
That's a good way to put it. The traditional thought of stability. Cause you know, what we've learned is that it's actually not that stable.
Nothing stable. I mean, we were all alive in 2008. I mean, nothing.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at all the people that have lost their jobs because of COVID, and that's completely outside of their control. You know, great employees, top performers for all types of companies, you know, are out of jobs because of a pandemic, you know, not their fault. No one didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. No one scheduled COVID, or not that I know of. I mean, maybe someone did.
Maybe.
But this is not.
There's like some theories out there, but.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to do a whole separate conspiracy theory episode.
been owning his own businesses for his entire life. So
let me ask you this, Luke. Have you ever, like, been an employee, or have you always just kind of?
Yeah. When we first got married, I worked a job that I was working 60 to 80 hours a week. And
it was really cool. We got married and then never saw each other. It was
great. Hey, that morning back at like 9 o'clock at night, some days.
That might be the recipe for a long, successful marriage.
Never see each other. Yeah. Here's some money and I'll see you next week.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah. So that's how we kicked off our, you know, marriage, was just enduring that. But, I have owned that, or I have done that. I have had that job, but I think I guess I jumped straight from there. I worked in a church right after that for a little bit. And then I went church to, and I've had, like, we'll say anything pre fishing guide was like just little small side businesses, which I have had plenty of those. But once I started going into business for myself, you know, full time with the charter business, I said, like, right as I started doing it, I was like, I'm never working for someone else again.
Yep.
And it's like the only thing. And I can't say that with 100% confidence, because I don't
know. Now you work for Laura, so.
Yeah, right. Well, I do work for Laura. But, you know, we have the, I have this, like, marital relationship with her, to where, you know, she has to love me.
Yeah, you've got strings you can pull.
Even if I just, like, blow off work, she has to love me. So yeah,
that's true.
Doesn't mean I can't fire him.
That's right. She can fire me if she wants.
Even though he does all of our sales, so that one not.
Make sure you have a good recurring client base before you fire.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I can be fired. Yeah. But I think, after I launched the charter business, it was just like, there's no way I'm going back, because there's no cap on what I can do. There's no cap on what I can make. Not that life's all about that, but the biggest thing was like, there's just no boundaries. It's like, I work when I want. And we, like, you know, when charter business was good, we were eating sushi and going downtown like every other night. And we were not saving money. We were just going and spend, like, when business was good. And I could do that. And that was great. But then when we said, hey, let's save some money and let's go on a trip, you know, I could do that. And it was just like, we'll stash some money away and then let's go on a trip and let's really be intentional about having these awesome experiences.
Yeah.
And then now it's like the thing that I'm kind of chasing after is like a good, like, work-life balance, to where, you know, we can take most of Friday and every Saturday and randomly, you know, on a Tuesday, cut out and go to the beach.
Yep.
Or go hop on the boat. And that's something that we've created, because, like, that's what I care about. And that's what she cares about, is to be able to just have that family time. And I know what I need to make, and I can make that amount. And then I can set the rest of the time aside for, you know, doing what we actually care about. And not that we don't care about work.
I really like work.
We like working. I like making videos.
Really do.
But yeah. I'm going to be honest, I don't like making videos as much as I like spending time with my family. Yeah. So, you know,
well, sure. Yeah. and you don't want to be working all the time, but I mean, I think that's a common, you know, theme amongst most entrepreneurs, is they do like to work. I mean, I think it's almost more common, you know, talking to entrepreneurs where they're like, yeah, I'm trying to, like, find ways to scale back my work a little bit. And I know it's something that we struggle with, but yeah, to me, that's what it's all about, is right. It's the flexibility, the ability to be able to work hard on the things that you want to work on.
Right.
And to have that flexibility to say, all right, right now I'm working really, really hard, but at the same time, whenever I'm ready I can stop and then go do whatever else I want to do, be with my family, go surfing, be on the boat,
go to
Puerto Rico, whatever the case is. So I think it's awesome. I mean, any, what are some of the cons that come with business ownership for you guys?
Taxes.
Hey, I just
one tax.
No, I literally mailed off like three different things for like between state and federal yesterday of like random, not random, but it felt very random that I was like, this is so annoying.
And we have a good tax guy. You still have to awesome. Do stuff though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I just hired a bookkeeping company that's going to start, cause I was trying to keep up with all of it myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at QuickBooks and I was so far behind, and I mean, it's worth a couple hundred dollars a month. Now we'll get like nice clean P&Ls every month. And then those go straight to our tax guy. And then our tax guy talks to our financial advisor. It's like, we've got a little team and it's worth every penny.
That's fine.
Yeah. It's definitely like I would say more of like the administrative side of things that I like have to switch my brain onto. I'm like, okay, I have to do this versus like just doing marketing, which is fun and I like, and then
it's the stuff you like to do.
I have to run payroll and go through our expenses. Like,
you're responsible for everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're responsible for everything. And even if you're not doing it, you're responsible for it happening. So
sure. Making sure someone's doing
swept.
It.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's nobody likes sweeping the floors, but you know, the floor's got to get swept.
Yeah. So, well, I think that's a common struggle with business owners. I actually, everyone I work with that I help get into a franchise business, I send them a copy of this book, The E-Myth Revisited, because it's so common. Most business owners fall into this where they've got, like you said, Luke, they're responsible for everything, right? So they're getting pulled in all these different directions. And so, and it's tough when you're in startup mode, but you know, the goal should be as soon as possible to get to where you're outsourcing or delegating stuff that's not what I think of as HPAs, high payoff activities, right? For you, it's probably shooting video. For Laura, it's, you know, strategically working with clients on campaigns. I mean, that's where, you know, you're happiest probably, and also where your money's made. And it's same for me, right? I mean, it's part of why I brought, you know, you guys in to help me out with stuff I knew I needed to be doing, but number one, I didn't really know how to do it and I didn't have the time to do it. And for me to sit down and learn how to do it and actually take the time to do it regularly and consistently would have taken me away from my high payoff activities, which is being on the phone, coaching and guiding people through the process of evaluating franchises. Easier said than done, but it's a common challenge for all small business owners. So check out E-Myth Revisited if you haven't read it. It's good.
Will do.
Have to do that.
Yeah,
that's a must like read.
One struggle, man, is just being able to let go. Cause I can do a lot of things okay. Like, and I'm just like, I'll figure it out. I can figure it out. But 2020 has just been all about staying in your lane for me. I'm just like, doubling down on what I do and doing that well, and then letting other people take the reins on things that I don't do well.
And it's like you were saying, it's the conversation we have all the time. It's like, you could do all your organic social media. Like, at the end of that, I mean, there is strategy and thought behind it. In the day, it's really not that hard, but is that going to be the best use of your time? Or like,
definitely not.
And usually the answer is no. So like, that's an easy, good thing that people can outsource or, you know, hire out. So probably should get a bookkeeper.
Probably the thing. Bookkeeper.
I'll introduce you to the guy I just got set up with. He's based out of Wilmington here. He's got offices in Charlotte. Good guy. And I mean, pretty reasonable for everything he's going to do for us. But we can talk about that offline. But I mean, I think just, you know, a good exercise for any business owner to do is sit down and figure out, you know, out of all of the things that take up your time, you know, what are actual revenue generating activities? Mm-hmm. And that's where you should probably be spending the majority of your time. And then what are the other things that take you away from those revenue generating activities, and how can you get those off of your plate? And like you said, Luke, you still are responsible for making sure it gets done, but at least you are not spending that time yourself, right? Because I look at it, you know, what I pay you guys to do the stuff you're doing for me, I can go out and make a, heck of a lot more money than what I'm paying you if right. I'm focusing on the things that I should be doing, which right. is, you know, actually talking to the candidates that I work with.
Yeah, 100%. It takes what, like in that example, like you using us for the monthly video, just specifically that, it takes that to one checklist item mm-hmm. instead of 20. You know, it's like, now you don't have to do like 20 steps to get this done. It's like, oh, did I record my video? Check.
Yep. Did I upload it? Check. I'm yeah. done.
Yeah.
Whatever they do to make it pretty and you know, make it, you know, sound good or whatever. Yeah. You can't change my face, unfortunately, but other than that, you know, you're able to polish it up pretty nicely. So yeah, I think that's good. A good thing to be thinking about. So another thing I wanted to pick y'all's brains on, and Laura, maybe especially you, because you've already alluded to this a little bit, you know, just in kind of leaving the stability of a job and jumping into business ownership. And I mean, especially now that you guys have a kid, you know, that brings a whole nother level of consideration to, you know, making sure that you've got good income and some stability. And, you know, for me, most of the people I work with, there's a lot of fear, uncertainty and doubt that are at play when they're considering getting into business for themselves. How have you guys kind of dealt with that, processed that, pushed past it? And what advice might you have to someone that's experiencing that and it's maybe holding them back from making that transition?
That's a good one.
This is all you.
Luke's like, I'll start three more businesses today. I don't even care.
Yeah,
like, whatever.
Yeah, like, I have five businesses at once.
Yeah.
I mean, I think ultimately what made me leave my job was just like the very strong desire to want to travel. It wasn't like when I went to tell my boss that I was leaving, I was like, I'm so nervous. I think I'm going to throw up. Like I said that to him and he was like, okay.
Are you quitting?
Yeah. He's like, what's happening? And I was like, I'm not pregnant, but I think I might throw up. So yeah, I was terrified, but it was like, ultimately I felt like this experience and doing this, especially then before we had a kid, honestly, was like, it was like a now or never. And like, that was more important to me than keeping the stability of the job. And
it was opportunity cost.
Yeah, exactly. So once we were on the road, I mean, I guess for me, it was more of like a slower building up client. So that, I guess that sort of happened naturally, but I mean, ultimately it was like the risk of doing this, even if it doesn't work out great, is worth it. Also, we had a 1994 VP paid off. So if we lost everything, we still had somewhere to live.
Yeah, as so, long as I kept it on the road.
We were doing good. That's probably not super encouraging for people, but it's also like, okay, because I am like worst case scenario person a lot of times, I think. So it's like, what is the worst that's going to happen? Like we're going to make money somehow just with like the skill sets that we have. So we're not going to like starve. And even if we lost everything, like our friends aren't going to let us live on the street, hopefully.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe they'll take us in for a month while we get back on our feet.
Like,
for sure.
I mean, the worst case scenario does happen, so I don't want to like make light of that because that is people's reality. But like at the end of the day, I was like, if worst case scenario happens and happens and happens and like snowballs, like what is actually the worst that is truly going to happen? And at the end of the day, I didn't ever think it was going to be that, to where it wasn't worth taking the risk.
That's brilliant. And like, I actually have an exercise that I'll have some of my candidates go through. And I didn't create it. I got it from Tim Ferriss. He actually did a TED talk about this. He calls it fear setting. And he says to do just that, right? Which is, what are my two options? Stay in my job or a once in a lifetime opportunity to live on the road and travel the country. All right. Well, or I guess the way he would phrase it is, what is the decision that I'm struggling with that I'm scared to make? So the decision would be to leave my job to go live in an awesome van with pink carpet and travel the country. And so what he would do is have you write out all of the worst case scenarios. Like, what's the absolute worst that could happen?
We break down and stuck in Kansas forever.
Yeah, right. So, and think about it, like a really, really rock bottom, worst case scenarios. And then he would have you list out, kind of like you were just doing, which is what do we do to come back from that if it does happen, right? What are the steps that we could take to rebound from a worst case scenario? And so what happens is when most people actually sit down and take the time to go through an exercise like that, they realize a couple of things. Number one, they realize that it's very unlikely. Well, I guess the first thing they realize is the worst case scenario is not as bad as maybe they had initially imagined in their head, right? I mean, usually, you know, fear, it kind of runs wild and it's usually not that close to reality in a lot of cases. So if you really sit down and intentionally go through this process, you'll realize that the worst case is not as bad as maybe you had initially imagined. And secondly, you realize that the worst case is probably not that likely to actually happen,
yeah,
or at least to go that far. And even if it does, you can pretty quickly figure out numerous ways in which you can get back to where you were before.
Yeah.
And so what it usually comes down to is you start off thinking, I don't know if I can afford to take this risk. And if you are really serious about it and go through that process, you realize I can't afford not to right. take this risk.
Exactly. And then
we got flying. We'll edit that out. I'm just glad it didn't land on my toe.
Flying technologies.
It was my water bottle. So no, that's cool how you kind of process that, because that's exactly how I've kind of learned to do it. And I've learned from, you know, people that are much, much smarter than I am. And it's very similar to the advice that I give candidates that are struggling with that.
Yeah. In that same vein, I've talked to a lot of people over the past 5 to 10 years that are like, you know, kind of scared to step out and do something mm-hmm. on their own. But it's absolutely 100% true that every year you wait, it gets harder.
No doubt. That's a good point. Yeah.
It absolutely gets harder. And the way I look at it is this: everyone's been put on this earth to do something. And the quicker you accept what that something is, and that something might change. I mean,
sure. I'm
the living testimony of that. Like, I've had a bajillion different businesses, but the sooner that you accept that whatever that something is and step into it, and for you, it might be a 9-to-5 job. But
yeah,
for sure. I would assume people that are listening to this podcast, they've got the mind, you know, to think, you know, maybe this is something for me. But I would say the sooner that you step into that and accept, you know, what you've been put here to do, you know, the more freeing it is, and you don't really have to sit there and let things compound. Like, I've got multiple kids now, I've got a bigger house payment now, I've got yeah. all these things stacking up that make the practical everyday steps harder, you know?
Yeah, the responsibilities don't usually lessen the yeah. older you get and the longer you live life. So that's a very good point. And I mean, the way I've just come to think about it is, you know, you hear people, not to sound morbid, but you hear people when they get to the end of their life and they don't talk about regretting, you know, I tried this and it didn't work out, right? Or I made this mistake or that mistake. They regret the things they didn't do, the things right. they wanted to do, but they never did it. And so for me, I just kind of look at it and I'm like, I don't want to get to the end of my life, whenever that is, and have this laundry list of things that I always wanted to do, but I was just waiting until the timing was perfect, and it never was, so I never did it, you know? Okay. That's like my worst fear, you know? I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think with original Kickstart intern program version, Kickstart 0.1, that's like kind of, it was like rolling around in my head for like months, and I kept like kind of talking about it and like mentioning it to Luke. And one day he was like, you either are going to need to just do this or like stop talking about it, 'cause it's getting annoying.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine. Take
that's good loving advice.
Yeah. He was like, I'm over it. Do it or don't, like, stop. So like, I literally was like, take Huck. And I like went to the coffee shop for an afternoon and like, 'cause it had been rolling around in my head long enough, I knew what it was, like built out the website, did the logo, and just like, I mean, I wouldn't recommend this from a marketing standpoint, but just like shoved it out into the world, because I was like, I just need to do it and I need to do it today. And like,
sometimes
but that's yeah. good, right? I mean, sometimes it's God, I'm going to butcher this quote, but it's something along the lines of don't let perfection be the enemy of action or something along those lines, right? Which is like, if you sit around and wait for the timing to be perfect or wait to, you know, have the perfect website before you officially launch your business, like, again, it'll probably never happen. Like, just start taking action. Like, when I was thinking about starting this consulting business before I resigned from my job, I'd been knowing I was wanting to do it, but there was a lot of that fear and uncertainty. You know, I had the salary, I had the benefits, you know, we had our other businesses, but it wasn't as, you know, steady of income at that point. And I just kind of kept creating reasons in my head why the timing wasn't right. And so I was like, all right. And Kelly was helpful in this, kind of same thing as you, Luke. She's like, I'm tired of hearing you talk about it. You're either doing this or you're not. Like, what are we doing now? So I had a logo designed. Like, that was, I had a logo designed, and I had that logo. I hadn't resigned from my job or anything like that, but I had a logo. It was something. It gave me, you know, like, it was one little tiny baby step. And then I just kept kind of putting other pieces in place. And finally, there was no turning back, right? I was already there mentally. So that made it a lot easier to fully commit, put in my resignation and do all of that. So I think it's, just taking action. You know, you can sit around and talk about it till you're blue in the face, but until you actually start taking some action. But then it gets easier. Like, once you start actually doing things, you're in it and you're not thinking about it so much.
Yeah. You're just every year you wait, you're just delaying hitting those goals that you have. I mean, if you had an idea at 25 and didn't start till you're 30, you're not going to be hitting those goals for another 5 years from when you start. I mean, that's just math. Like, it's not hard to figure out. The longer you wait, the longer it's going to take you to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. So when I kind of think about it, like having a kid too, right? Like, most people don't wake up one day and be like, all right, I'm ready. I know everything I need to know to be a parent. I'm 100% ready to be a parent. It's like, you find out you're having a kid and you're like, holy crap, are we even going to be able to keep this tiny human alive? So you just got to kind of go with it.
Yeah. You just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah. Well, guys, this has been awesome. I'm really glad that we made time for this. Before we wrap it up, I would like to have you go through the lightning round if you got just another minute or two. And I guess we can do this one at a time. That might be the easiest way to do it. So, Laura, if it doesn't put you on the spot too much, we'll do ladies first. So first question of lightning round is simply, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received? And that could be in business or in life.
Ooh, probably to just, like we were saying, like, to take action. Cause I definitely overthink things a lot and like want it to be perfect. So like, just not going to steal Nike slogan, but sometimes you just got to do it and just get going.
Yep. No doubt. Why don't we do it this way? Luke, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? We'll kind of round robin.
Yeah. In life, it's how you need to be attentive to communication. So
what?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just life, business, everything. Like, yeah. Focus on communication, be clear and listen, because I need to hear that a lot because I like to talk.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that.
You know, listen, communicate clearly.
Great advice. Laura, do you have any sort of a morning routine? Anything that you try to do every morning to prime yourself for a successful day?
Drink coffee. No, I'm not a morning person. So my morning routine, if it's going to be a good morning, is like at least grind the beans at night and have it so I just have to push the button.
Yeah.
That's like, I have to eat breakfast. I don't care what it is, but I have to have food and I have to have coffee. It used to be
no morning routines.
No, that's it.
I mean, kids change that too. It's a lot harder to have any sort of a morning routine with little ones.
I used to have like an hour and a half, like, morning wake up come to life routine. Now it's like coffee and food and toddlers.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah.
What about you, Luke?
Nope, no routine here. I used to have a very regimented routine, and it wasn't just pre-kid. I think it was like pre this line of business.
Yeah.
But I mean, I make a point to get up in the morning and at some extent before work, do a little reading. Generally in the Bible. So
yeah,
that's my thing. I try to get done before I start work, and I don't usually eat breakfast. So that's not even part of my thing.
No, I think having like some quiet time and reading, that always helps me. It just puts me in a better frame of mind going into the day. But, you know, I think it's, we talk about this all the time, different things for different people that work. It's just something I'm always curious about, is kind of what people have found, as a good way to start their day to make the rest of the day productive. But, I don't know if you guys are big readers or not, but if you are, what book are you reading right now, Laura?
I have for like 2 or 3 weeks, like 2 pages left. I just can't finish it. But it's a book called Godmothers, and okay. It's more like, it's very woman focused, obviously, about like generational mentorship and like life, more so in life, about how like older women have a perspective that young women need to hear. And then if you're in that middle age range, probably where I would say I fall, then there's still a younger generation that you have experience that you need to feed into. So
very,
it's really cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
Am I reading books? No, I'm not reading books currently, except for said Bible that I read in the morning.
Well, hey, that is the good book. If you can only be reading one book, that's probably a good one to have.
Specifically, 1 Timothy. So, what I read today. So.
Well, check out the E-Myth if you are looking for definitely something good to read. I'll send you guys a copy. I've got like 10 copies of it sitting here in my office. All right, then, final question, and I will let you guys go. We'll start again with you, Laura. What is your definition of freedom, and are you living it?
My definition of freedom would probably be some loose definition of kind of being able to, I don't want to say do what you want when you want, but being able to at least live your life in structure and have maybe control, I guess would be a better way of scheduling your time and your work and finances and just generally flexibility, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
While
I love it.
Food still.
Nothing wrong with good food.
No, indeed. What about you, Luke?
Man, mine is probably going to sound like more weirdly philosophical, but,
there was nothing philosophical about what I said.
Yeah. Man, but when I think of just the word freedom, I think of just being whatever I'm doing to be able to do it with like clear conscience and being able to just, you know, do it because, you know, for the right motivations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I feel like I am the best at doing that, through working, you know, for ourselves, you know,
sure.
Working together. So that is pretty crucial for me to be able to do things without feeling, you know, guilty or stressed or any of that. I'm able to do whatever, you know, just with a clear conscience. And
you know, I like that. No, that's great. That's great. Well, guys, this was really good stuff. Quickly before we wrap up, tell anyone that's interested, where can they learn more about Kickstart Collective website? Anyone wants to connect with you guys and learn more about your services, what's the best way for them to find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So our website is kickstartcollective.co. So not .com, .co.
Drop the M, forget the M.
Yeah. Forget the M.
I'll post it in the show notes.
Okay. There you go.
So yeah, that has all of our information, our contact info, also Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Kickstart Collective. If you guys prefer messaging on one of those platforms, we're on it all the time. So there or website.
Yeah.
All right.
My number's tied directly to the website. So
that's true. If you want to call Luke, his number's on our website.
If you want to call.
All right. If you want to send him some
conversation, let's do it.
Or just send him some weird text messages, have a little fun with it. Who knows?
So
we'll post all that in the show notes, and you guys can check out the Path to Freedom Instagram page, Facebook, anything you see up there. That's all these guys, Kickstart Collective. They're helping me out with all that stuff. So just wanted to quickly acknowledge you guys. Thanks a lot. I haven't known you that long, but I'm very glad that I met you. I appreciate all the work that you're doing for me and the help that you're giving me. And, you know, you guys are definitely an inspiration. So keep doing what you're doing and really appreciate you making time to drop in here on the Path to Freedom podcast.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. And thanks for being a great client.
My pleasure. Thanks for dropping in with me on this episode of the Path to Freedom podcast. I hope you got a ton of value and learned something new. And if you did, please make sure to subscribe and follow the Path to Freedom podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And also, please share with someone else that may also get value from it. And if you're interested in learning more about how you can take steps to getting into business for yourself, I'd love to speak with you. Connect with me online at pathtofreedom.com. That's path, the number two, FRDM.com, or shoot me an email at wes@pathtofreedom.com, spelled the same way. And if you know anyone else that may be interested in speaking with me, I'd love to meet them. Please forward this podcast along to them and encourage them to reach out. Thanks again for joining me today, and I'll see you next time. Now go drop in.